We'd like to say hello today
and let you know that we're real grateful to be back with you and have a chance to talk with you about Jesus. You know, we always look forward to our conversations about the Lord. The day that we're living in, I don't know of anything that is better than talking about Jesus. You know, it looks like everything else is running out and running out fast. And it seems that no one anywhere in the world today has the true answer to the situation of the times other than the Word of God. So then, let's talk about the Word of God again today. I'd like to read some to you from the book of St. Luke, the 10th chapter, the 25th verse. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live." What a great, wonderful statement. Thou shalt live. You know, I really like that last part that Jesus said there, thou shalt live. You know, everything orbits around one thing in this world, and that is life. We're all searching for life, and we're doing it through the powers of medical research. We're doing it through recreational means. We're trying in every way to perfect life. In every manner, we're trying our best to be able to perfect life. We are searching diligently to try to understand a better way to have a more full, richer life. And Jesus said here to the rich young lawyer, he said, "How readest thou?" And when he answered him discreetly, he said, "Thou hast answered right. Now do this and live." I remember Jesus made the statement that I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. Or that is, he said, I am the Prince of Life and I've come to give you life. That's my purpose in the world. I've come to give you life. I want you to have life, and I've come that you might have life filled up and overflowing. I am the Prince of Life, and you can have life if you so desire to have life. But you know, the only way that we can have that life, which is in Jesus Christ, is that we remember to do the things that the Lord Jesus has commanded us to do. A lot of people today, they feel that they can have that life and just do any old way in this world. But I want you to know that you cannot do any way that you want to and have that kind of life. You must honor the Lord to preserve life. Then you must honor the Lord to preserve life in this world. You must honor the law, the laws of the land. Because the only way that you can preserve natural life is to obey the laws of the land. If you do not obey the speed laws, there's a good possibility that you'll lose your life. So then, we've learned to honor the laws of the land. How much more should we honor the Father of Spirits and obey the laws of God that we might live in that eternally? So then, Jesus said to this lawyer, he said, you've read in the laws of God and you've understood the laws of God. You witness of your own testimony that you know what I require. Therefore, do this and thou shalt live, Jesus said. And if we do this, beloved friend, then we can live. But if we fail to do the things that God hath commanded us to do, then it's for sure that we shall die. For if we do not the things that God tells us to do, how then can we expect to live? We must honor God with all of our efforts. We must honor God with our thoughts. We must honor God with our efforts here in this life. All of our deeds must conform to the ways of God. You know, we're commanded of God to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. We're told that as long as we do this, then God will bless us. As long as we do these things, God will stand with us. But unless we do these things, then we cannot find life. Jesus said, "My words are spirit, and my words are life." If the word of God is spirit, and the word of God is life, then that makes me to know one thing, and that is I must honor the word of God. I must obey the word of God. For if it is the word of life, if it is a way that I should go, then, beloved friend, if I honor the word of God, if I obey the word of God, then it's going to be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. I must do the things the Lord tells me to do. For what profit is it to me to hear the word of God and not to obey it? Can I then be saved if I do not the things that God tells me? Can I then prolong my life if I do not the things that God tells me? Is it not the doers of the word that receive eternal life rather than the hearers? Can the hearers of the word receive eternal life? The Bible tells us it's not the hearers, but the doers. For he that doeth my will, and he that heareth my word and obeyeth my word, Jesus said, I shall show you unto whom he is like. He is like a wise man that dig down deep and built his house upon the foundation of a rock. Jesus said the winds came and they blew and they beat vehemently upon that house. But Jesus said it fell not because it was founded upon the rock. Though the floods came against the structure, yet it never gave because it was founded upon a rock. Now, but he said the foolish man said he did not seek a foundation. He just built his house on the sand. You know, a lot of people today do that. The shifting sands of theology, the ideas and opinions of people, it doesn't matter. Whatever you tell them, whatever some minister tells them, whatever some denominational powers put before them, they accept that, and they do not search the scriptures. Therefore, they found their house upon the sand. They do not build upon the rock. They have no foundation. And as a result of that, by and by, they are offended because of the word. A little contrary wind of doctrine or ideology comes up. A little contrary feeling begins to sweep across the bow of their boat. And the first news you know, their faith is made shipwreck. But I thank God because there is an anchor of the soul, and there is a sure word of truth, a more sure word of prophecy that we can latch on to when we search the word of God and have eternal life. I am persuaded to believe that even today, as we stand here talking with you, that we as people of God can have the very best in God. We can have the greatest in God, but we must accept God's way of life. There is absolutely no way to have God's best and do the way that we want to do. There's no way to do it. You know, I cannot understand why that people do not realize that they must honor God and they must obey God's word and that they must conform to God's word. You know, no man expects to go to school and without obeying what he has taught, without trying to progress in school, make progress or to learn. He doesn't expect to go to school and come out with anything to his benefit unless he does those things. When he goes to school, he expects to study. He expects to apply himself. If he goes to college to be able to get anything out of college, he expects to apply himself. Therefore, he devotes many weary hours trying to develop his understanding and trying to develop skill that he might be beneficial in the field of activity that he's undertaking. Now then, we understand that. Where then is our reasoning, beloved friend? when it comes to the Word of God, don't we realize that it is necessary to do those things in college, if it is necessary to do those things in school, if it's necessary to do those things on a job, that it is just as necessary to do those things in the Word of God or concerning the Word of God or in a spiritual way of life if we expect to excel in God. We cannot excel in God with a half-hearted attitude. No man going to college or school could ever excel if he had a half-hearted attitude. He would have to have a determination, otherwise it would be a waste of time. And I say the same thing regarding God's Word, that he that entereth into this race, Paul said he must run according to the rules, and the Bible is the rule book. Not everyone that entereth into the race wins, but he that runneth according to the rules. I say then that the man that benefits from Christianity and the man that benefits from the way of God or the God life will be the man that will apply himself in God's Word, that's willing to obey and to honor God's Word, to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Christ unto the full measure of the full stature of the Son of God. If he is not willing to do that, I can assure you that he will be a castaway. I can assure you that God will not have him. For God says in his Word, thou shalt not bring to me the halt, the lame, the blind. Thou shalt not bring that to me. Take that to your governors, he said, and see if they will receive that of you. He said, bring me a hold offering without spot, without blemish. And what kind of offering is that? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto me, which is your reasonable service, God tells us. He tells us to go on unto perfection, that we should perfect holiness unto God, in the fear of God, that we should serve God in holiness and in righteousness all the days of our life. For God is the Spirit of holiness. Therefore, if we're to perfect a life with God, we must honor God's Word. We must find the name of the Lord. We must follow the Word of God. And we must apply ourselves by taking the Scripture, by conforming to the Scripture, by indoctrinating ourselves with the Scriptures, until we are thoroughly furnished as the man of God to know the right way of life. Whereas we're told not to lean to our own understanding, but to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. You know, the world today is sick. I think you'll agree that the entire world is practically sick. You know, around the world today, everywhere we go, and we go in the different parts of the world, as far as Norway, the land of the midnight sun, to South America, into the islands, Europe, different places, we find that the world as a whole is sick. The world is sick. They need a healer. They must have a healer. Now, Jesus is the healer. Why is the world sick? Why is the world sick? You say, well, Brother Pike, it's because of the diseases of today. But yet the Bible tells us that when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of the land of bondage, where they had been under hard bondage, that during the 40 years of their pilgrimage, not one person was sick among them. Not one person. And the Bible says that God took care of them during that whole period. How is it, friend, that God did that, and God cannot do that today? Because the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he is the same to 1,000 generations. How is it then that we today cannot be healed as they were healed? How is it today that we are sick when they were not sick? When we're supposed to have the blood atonement, even from Calvary, even more so than they, in that the Son of God has already been offered. You know what it is? They were devout people. They were people that consecrated their lives in fasting and prayer. And here we, God doesn't require near today what he did then in the sense of the atonement, giving us grace. And yet he does in that he seeks perfection in our lives. But in that he has given us grace, we've gotten off a lot lighter. But we are so shallow in our experience with God until we become church members, we have become unconcerned. We've not had any diligence toward God. We have diligence toward sports. We have diligence toward medical research. We have diligence toward education, science. We have diligence when it comes to probing into the galaxies. We have diligence in making money. We have diligence in everything. But beloved friend, when it comes to God's word, we just take for granted, as we say, that God is going to save the entire world because he is good. That's where our problem is. And so then, as a result of that, people are perishing today. Hundreds and millions of people are dying with sick bodies, all because we cannot believe. And the reason we cannot believe is simply because we have not applied ourselves, we have not been diligent in searching out the Word of God and understanding what faith is. So then, I say today that what we need to do is to turn to God. I say today what we need to do is to search after God. The Bible said, in the day when you seek me with your whole heart, saith the Lord, then I shall be found of you. But until the hour that you search after me with your whole heart, I'll not be found of you. Now then, tell me one thing. Why is it that God will not be found of us until we search after him with our whole heart? There is only one reason. See, the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Confession unto salvation is made with the lips. Therefore, if I must believe with my heart unto righteousness, then I must of necessity search after God with all of my heart. Because the heart is the connector between me and God. The heart is what does the believing. You know, beloved friend, it doesn't matter how much I believe intellectually. It doesn't matter if I join a church. It doesn't matter if I'm a good neighbor. It doesn't matter if I say I believe the Bible and I believe there's a God. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if my parents belong to some church. It doesn't matter if my grandparents belong to the same church. And it doesn't matter if all of my life I belong to the same church. The thing that's important is, do I believe in the name of the Son of God? And the writer said, do you believe on the name of the Son of God? For to as many as believe, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to as many as believed on his name. Do you therefore believe on the name of the Son of God? If you believe on the name of the Son of God, then everything is all right. But if you do not believe on the name of the Son of God, then you are lost. It shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Therefore we should do our diligence to keep our heart. For out of our heart comes forth the issues of life. And yet the Bible tells us that the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? So then Jesus said to the lawyer, thou hast read these things, you understand these things. Now do these things and thou shalt live. I say to you today, if you desire life, do these things and thou shalt live. I'd like to pray with you here at the close of the program. I'd love to pray with you. If you're looking in this direction today, I'd like to pray with you. You know, we get some fantastic reports concerning people that God has touched in their body. Different things that has happened that we've spoken of. The Lord has blessed us and God has been with us. And we are continually praying in your behalf that God will do something for you. You know, it's not just here on to the programs that we pray for you, but we pray for you all the time. We have requests coming in day and night, and we pray for them. All during the night, brethren here, joined together, sisters in Christ, and they pray for the cause of the people. But I want to pray for you. If you're looking in this direction and you believe in prayer, and you believe in the Son of God, you believe on the name of Jesus, I want to pray for you. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, I ask you today to call upon the name of Jesus while we're speaking to you. Faith cometh by the hearing of God's word. And if you'll call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God will save you today. And we'll pray with you that God will save your soul. And we'll pray with you that God will heal your body. And we'll pray with you that God will meet your financial need. You know, we received a letter the other day, and some woman had written a letter, and she wanted a home. It was her dream to have a home. She said they could not afford it. They didn't have any way to get it. But she said, I believe, Brother Pike, if you'll pray, that God will grant it to us. And we prayed, and they wrote back immediately and said, glory to God. Said, Brother Pike, God hath granted us a nice home, and we have a nice home now that is our very own. And she was rejoicing of what it meant to her to be able to have this wonderful blessing. Therefore, God will grant unto you whatever you believe. Decree a thing in your heart. Believe it, stand upon it, and God will bring it to pass. Don't waver. Jesus said, don't doubt, just believe. For he that doubteth, he that wavereth, is like the waves of the sea. A double-minded man, the Bible said, let not him think that he shall receive anything of God. Therefore, when you pray, Jesus said, believe. So we're going to pray. And when we pray, I want you to pray with us. Those that are in the hospital, those that are listening, those that are looking, those that are shut-ins, wherever you might be, I want you to look and listen today. And I want you to pray with us today as we pray with you that God will do something especially for you today. I'm asking you to do this now. As we pray, you believe. Father of heaven, Lord, we lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting, asking thee, O God, in the name of your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to heal, Father. Oh, I feel your presence, Jesus, and I ask you to heal today. I ask you to stretch out your healing hand, Father. And Father, heal today. Those that are out yonder that need healing today. Those that need healing, Father. Lord, wherever they might be, in the hospital, Father, if they're shut in, convalescence, whatever it might be, Jesus, I ask you to heal. I'm believing you to heal, Father. I'm asking you to console their heart. I'm asking you to strengthen their body. I'm asking you to bless them. I'm asking you to meet their need physically, spiritually, and financially, Father. I'm asking you to do this. All because you love your Son, Jesus. And all because you love your creation. And through your Son, Jesus, having made the way for our deliverance and for our blessing, then we ask it in his lovely name. Father, heal. And Father, save. And Father, forgive. In the name of Jesus, heal today. Oh, Lord, and let those that are listening and looking feel this wonderful deliverance and this wonderful presence of the Almighty God in their life to guide them and help them. In the name of Jesus, I ask it for your glory. Amen. Now, I felt the presence of God. I felt Jesus in a glorious way. I felt him as we began to pray. I felt the Lord. I'd like for you to write me a letter. If you've never written me a letter, I'd like for you to write me a letter. You know, we don't ask you for anything. Most programs, wherever, whenever, they're always asking you for finance and whatever. We don't bother you about things like that. We ask you to write us a letter, not with any desire of finance in mind, because God meets our need. But we ask you to write us a letter to let us know that we are reaching you with the gospel and that we're able to help you find deliverance for your body, and God will take care of the rest of it. But I'm asking you to do that. Write me a letter. Write me a letter. Let me hear from you. Let me know if God has done something for you, that it might be a blessing to others, that others also might share in the testimony of Christ and see the glory of God come to pass in your life and know that you too have faith in God and that you're a witness in the behalf of the Son of God, that we might win souls together for the Son of God. Until the next time that we have a chance to talk with you, may the Lord bless you. We'll be looking forward to seeing you the next time.